Chapter 8. The Countess Emmanuelle's dressing room was filled with people. From somewhere, more guards and servants had appeared. As an elector, Johann was in charge of the situation. Manouchkine had called the palace physician, and Michael Hazelstein was lying on the Countess's daybed, having his ripped face seen to. He might lose an eye, and his upper lip was so badly torn that he would have trouble talking. But he would live. Emmanuelle herself was unharmed, but she had fainted and been covered with Leos's cloak, while her brother, it was still hard to think of him as a her and as the Countess's sister, dressed in one of her gowns. Johann and Harold were most concerned with Rosanna. She was in another trance state, dreaming furiously. Leos lived for a few minutes with Harold's knife through her heart and died without saying anything.
"We'll never know why," Harold said.
Johann knew the captain was wrong.
"Rosanna will know," he said.
"Maybe it would be best if she didn't."
Kleindienst gently eased his knife out of the beast's breast, wiped it on the cast-aside velvet cloak, and slipped it into its sheath.
"Green velvet,"
he said, rubbing the rich material between his fingers.
"This has been a lot of trouble for such rotten stuff."
Johann picked up Rosanna and carried her away from Leos's body. She was mumbling and fighting the dream. He took her out of the dressing room and into the first bedroom he could find, where he laid her out gently. The room was sparsely decorated, as untenanted and characterless as a guest chamber in an inn. It had been Leos's room. The only objects which suggested an occupant were a row of cameos on a dresser, small and cheap portraits of handsome young men, heroes of the empire, popular actors, the sons of distinguished families. Johann recognised an indifferent picture of himself among the collection. In a rack on the wall, there were several fine swords. Rosanna would wake up on her own soon. He could leave her to that. In the reception room, the Countess was surrounded by solicitor's servants, her face a beautiful mask. Johann had never noticed before how closely she resembled Leos. Normally, the younger sister would have been the greater beauty. But there was very little normally about this business. He wondered how much his fellow elector had known, had guessed, had suspected. Then he thought of Wolf. His brother was still out there, confused and hurt. Emmanuelle was talking in a low, serious voice, giving orders to Daniel Dorry, one of her retainers, and, it was rumoured, one of her lovers. The smooth-faced young man was paying close attention. Kleindienst stood by the door, examining his axe work. Emmanuelle knew he had brought Leos down, and seemed to be talking with Dorry about the officer. Killing the relatives of electors was getting to be a habit with him. Johann swore to himself that the captain wouldn't get into any more trouble for his action. Any of them would have done the same thing. In the end, Johann thought, it was probably best for poor Leos. Earlier today he had thought of the beast as a monster. Already, the murderer had become poor Leos. There was a movement from behind him, and Rosanna came out of the bedroom, a hand pressed to her head as if she were hungover. She was unsteady on her feet. He supported her, but she pushed him away and stood on her own. Johann and Kleindienst both looked at the scryer, both asking the same question in their head. Why? Rosanna put out her hands to steady herself and knocked a small ornament from a stand. It smashed on the floor. Emmanuelle looked over and tut-tutted, then went back to Dorry's orders. The scryer took a deep breath and became fully awake.
"It's over," Johann said.
Rosanna shook her head, and without saying anything, walked towards the Countess Emmanuelle. Dorry put his hand under his cloak, reaching for a knife, instinctively protecting his mistress. Kleindienst's hand got to Dorry's wrist before the favourite's hand got to the knife. Rosanna took hold of the Countess Elector of Nuln by the chin, and tilted her head upwards. She looked at the other woman, hawked loudly, and spat in her face.